if you look at what GPT is doing with helping you to code, up until the scale where you're building complete apps and all the communication and soft skills that are involved there, then I think we can be skeptical if AI is going to even approach that, because it's all human.
Hello and welcome to the PyBytes podcast, where we talk about Python, career, and mindset. We're your hosts. I'm Julian Sequeira.
And I am Bob Beldebos. If you're looking to improve your Python, your career, and learn the mindset for success, this is the podcast for you. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the PyBytes podcast. This is Julian. I'm here with Bob. How's it going, man?
Hey, man. Welcome back. Who are you?
Who are you? It's been 4 weeks. We say this every time. The past few months, we've had one episode together. We're like, oh, we got to do this more often. And then
kick off 2024. And then we disappeared.
There's just guest after guest. And then It's been, lo and behold, it's been a month. We're like, we haven't spoken to each other in a month.
Yeah.
So what's been happening, man? Do you want to share a win or two, or what's up?
Win is that we're together on the podcast, I guess. No.
Perfect.
The Circle community is going wild. So we moved from Slack to Circle, which was a big risk, an endeavor.
A lot of work.
But, you know, all the Kajabi stuff is in there. It's all integrated. It's a beautiful tool. And it started slowly. And now, you know, more people are joining. Some old hats coming back from Slack. Mm. That's... people are posting more, and what I really like is that they engage a lot. So there's a lot of comments going on and threads on those posts. So people are, somebody said he was only lurking, but he was already getting a lot of value out of it. So,
There you go. Even the lurkers get value.
Yeah.
I love it.
So it's a good place. Should join.
What I like is that it's more like a message board. And it takes a bit of getting used to. You know, I got to admit, when you're using Slack and those really instant messaging type clients, you almost get trained to think that a community has to be instant response, right? But then, I would like to compare it from a usage standpoint to like the old message boards of back in the day, right?
Or even. Forms, right?
Forums. And even if you think about Reddit, right? Reddit doesn't have, direct message as its main source of connection between people. They just post and they'll get a notification when there's another post or a reply. And that's just how it works here. So I like it. It gives a lot of structure and allows people to really post something meaningful rather than just a one-liner. So it's good.
Yeah, the posts are definitely high quality. But it's not constantly in your face like Slack. On the flip side, though, you might lose notifications. And it's a bit more hidden, but that's also a good thing. So it's not too interrupted. The only downside is that they don't have a desktop app yet.
Yeah.
So you have to use it in the browser. But, you know.
But I'm on them. So if everyone listening, I'm in charge of letting... the Circle support team know what our grievances are every month.
So that's the thing, right? They're very responsive and they work with
they
us.
Are
and
actually.
They are implementing things. So that's nice.
Yeah, to their credit, they're very, very helpful. Anyway, we didn't mean for this to be a Circle plug.
Hey, it's
or anything,
important. It's the PyBytes community. That's a core piece, you know?
And it is. Just back to the point, it's very engaging these days. Like I could get stuck in there for an hour trying to read everything and respond to everything, you know? So testament to everyone who's in there posting and talking. I love it.
Shout out and thanks as well for people posting all that good stuff there. Yeah.
Yep. Cool.
How about you?
What are we talking about?
Wins.
Oh, wins. What about me? Yes, it's later. I'm a bit rusty. There's heaps of wins because it's been a month. But I think since we last recorded, we at home, this is going to be personal, by the way. It's always personal with me. We've renovated our laundry in our house. So that's nice and to where we wanted it, usable functional, which is great. And at the moment, like right now, outside this very window that I'm standing next to, our front yard is being landscaped. So there's a probably 2 meters away from me, there's a bobcat type machine sitting there waiting to continue digging up. Yeah, bobcat to dig up the front yard. So it's good. It's going to be a nice turfed front lawn with grass, which will make it usable for us and the kids. So there's my win. Just those are things we wanted to do for 2 years and had to save up for and stuff. And it's been nice to get them kicked off, I think. But there's so many cool things, man, with PyBytes and the programs that are coming and the veteran support that I'm working on. And if anyone out there is keen to learn more about that, I won't talk about it now. We'll do that in another podcast episode. But if you're keen to support, learn more about it, how I'm supporting, how PyBytes, I should say, supporting military veterans, it'll then, you know, join the community and send me a DM on that or on LinkedIn. I'd love to hear from you. But yeah, that's what's happening. And we've both been interviewed on a few different podcasts over the past month, I think.
Yeah, you were on Python People with Brian Ocken.
Brian Ocken.
I've been interviewed on with Chris Williams.
Yeah. What do you have coming up? Do you have Real Python?
Python? I'm going to get on Real Python. Yeah. It's not really recorded, but I will. Yeah.
Nah, it's not recorded yet. Yeah. One of my friends has just kicked off a podcast, and I'm in one of his first episodes, and that'll be launching, I think, this week now or next week or something like that. I don't know.
You said he was kicked off a podcast. Like, what did he say?
Oh, no. He's kicking off his podcast. He's starting it.
People sometimes have trouble understanding Julian. It's the Australian thing. He's like, give it a quiz. I learned the other day.
Yeah, and then you wrote that in the email this week.
Yeah.
So there you go. Learning some proper, you're learning the Queen's English.
Yeah. Took me a while to figure this guy out. But yeah, sorry, he kicked off a podcast and you were on there, right?
Mindset. Yeah, I was on there. So I don't know what number, hopefully I'm guest number one, but we'll see. We'll see. Mm. So very exciting. All that stuff's happening. Just too many things. We should do like an update episode, just a random episode talking about all the things we're working on, I think would be good. Mm. Doesn't have to be a formal thing. But anyway, so today we are talking, we're not just talking about ourselves. we're actually talking about AI. And Bob, why is this a thing that we're talking about today?
Well, it's everywhere, right? we keep using it. We keep thinking about it. We keep reading about it. But we're also hearing increasingly from people that they're kind of nervous about it. And you know, is AI going to replace us? How is this going to look for developers? Should I even become a developer? And that's when we said, whoa, okay, let's talk about this. Right? I think that was kind of the rationale.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. The amount of people we talk to, and it, you can't help but mention it, right? I mean, you might even mention in conversation that you use ChatGPT for something, right? And everyone, suddenly the conversation just turns to that. Like, oh, you know, what are your thoughts on that and all those things. So before we jump into the whole what people are saying, Bob, my question to you, I'm putting you on the spot because, again, everyone, we didn't prepare for this episode. Bob, just random banter. So let's say you and I were sitting in a pub having a coffee or a beer, depending whatever your taste is on the day.
That will influence the answer, but yeah.
And I was to ask you, what are your thoughts on ChatGPT right now when it comes to coding? And also, well, actually, just start with that. What's your thoughts on ChatGPT now in the coding scene?
I think it's still awesome. Mm-hmm. But use it, what's the word? Just judiciously?
Judiciously.
Yeah. Very, is that very right?
Yeah, it's amazing, man.
Insidious. so, no, I still use it quite a lot. But there are things it's not doing in an optimal way. There is a chance of hallucinations, et cetera. So, people have reflected a lot on the podcast here as well, is that it's not writing production-ready code, right? So you will have to tweak it and be, yeah, that was another thing you discussed with somebody. Also, don't just pick up on the first iteration, right? You definitely want to iterate with it. So I think it's a very useful tool. But I keep saying the effectiveness of it depends on the prompting as well as you being able to interpret the results and piece it together. And that whole piecing it together, making it work and making it quality, that's still where developer experience and us being human comes in. And yeah, does not make it magically, you know, cranking out end-to-end quality apps, right? So it's a tool, it's helpful, but I think there's still a lot of experience coming to the table.
So the question then that I hear or see people saying and mentioning is it's not there yet. Mm. So do you think, and you know, it's not like I'm saying that you keep on top of every AI trend and every bit of news, but I'm just saying like it's always improving. So do you think it'll get to a point where it just is accurate and you can trust it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't have the answer because there's an exponential component to this. I mean, like 1 or 2 years ago, or even a year ago, right? We wouldn't predict that we would be using these tools like this, right? Mm-hmm. And now we are, and it's becoming normal, right? And that's like, I mean, the technologies have been, I think OpenAI started in 2015, so it's has been working on that stuff for 8 years, right? Nine years. But as consumers, we had it like from one day to the other, right? And that has been only like a year ago. So we couldn't predict that, right? So what's the next thing? We probably cannot predict that. We do know that these models are getting better, and that also depends on the hardware and the data, which we have never had more than before, right? Yeah. So it's hard to predict. And maybe I turn the question to you because you spoke with somebody that is working on these models and how they actually work on the hood, because that's where I'm far. Like I drive the car, right? I've hardly peeked under the engine, right? So I don't know, right? I'm not. I know how to use them quite efficiently, but I don't know how they work. And you had a peek on the inside, and you're actually blown away how that prediction stuff works, right? And maybe I should ask you, what would you think how, if this would exponentially develop and what then would happen, you know?
Yeah, it's true. And thanks for that reminder. Yeah, I did chat with someone working on it. And we might get, actually, I'd love when he's ready to get him on the podcast to really talk about this stuff. And obviously, we're not mentioning his name out of privacy protection for him, but and so I'm probably going to butcher this from a technical standpoint, but just from what we were discussing the other day, which just blew my mind, is the level of prediction involved with this. So yes, GPT, and when you write into Chat GPT and you type your question, you type all that sort of stuff, right? The answers that it's giving you, the responses, yes, they're based on data, but it's based on a prediction. What is the most likely word that should follow the preceding word? So, and it's doing these calculations at incredible speeds, right? Using incredible amounts of processing power and technology. But the reality is it's still based on the data set that we're feeding it. And so I don't know, and maybe this is a naive way of looking at it, but personally, I kind of feel like, yeah, it's always going to be a step behind in a way until we get it to the point where it's literally being fed with live data that has happened at this moment. I mean, if you look at ChatGPT, right, the current models, what date are they up to?
Yeah, I think it was 2022 for a while, now it's 2023. Yeah. But I mean, obviously, it's always some months behind at least, right?
Mm. And there's data that it just may never have, right? I don't know if it's only being fed stuff that's online. What about things that aren't put online? And there will be gaps here and there. I'm sure there are situations that I'm not capable of even anticipating or thinking of, obviously. So I don't know. I think there's always going to be there's some healthy skepticism to keep there, that it won't be the be-all, end-all of everything, and we still need to be involved to some extent. But, yeah, just from that technical conversation I had, like I was saying, the prediction involved there that they still kind of don't really understand how it chooses every time, because you'll get if I'm guessing in with my simple understanding, if they knew exactly how it worked and how it was capable of predicting every single time, you'd be able to get the same answer every single time, right? But then something which you don't. And the fact that I say fact loosely here, but when you have your entire ChatGPT conversation going, every time you hit return or enter and submit more information, it's taking everything. It's just feeding everything that was already returned before back into the model to predict what's next. Mm. So that's why you kind of hit these rate limits, because it's not just feeding the latest thing and it's not keeping a memory of everything preceding. It's taking all that and putting it in. So it's kind of manual in that respect, right? And so I don't know where I'm going with this. I think the point is that I think the technology is still quite young from hearing this, and it fills me with a bit of reality that, yeah, these things are super intelligent and spit out super cool things, especially when it comes to code. But that, because it's predicting based off the previous word and the word before that and the word before that, the second it accidentally makes something up or puts in the incorrect fact or word or predicts the wrong thing,
it cascades right.
Yeah, it just snowballs into more and more garbage. Right, garbage in, garbage out. So and for those of you listening who know more about this than me, please by all means write an email, come join us on the podcast for a chat, YouTube live, whatever, I don't care. But I love learning about these things, and I think it's interesting. But as from a coding perspective, Bob, then when people are talking about their jobs being at risk, because to dive into what we're hearing, everyone, we're hearing a lot of people say, yeah, I'm kind of worried. And I think a lot of people have that we've spoken to directly have a bit of that healthy reality of saying, look, it's not going to take over my job, but it's certainly going to take parts away from me. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, most people actually thought that, right? Like, I did a quick poll on X, or Twitter, and there are already only like 81 votes, so not sure how representative it is, but it's, you know, it's more than 10 votes. And 9% said it will replace it. So that's a far minority, right? Like 91 said that it would be a helper, basically, which is what we're seeing, right? Like, you can definitely be more productive. It's basically a search on steroids, right? Like, you can be very targeted in getting information, have it and explain your things, write little snippets up until complete test suites and all that. So with the previous reservation I'd made that, you know, you have to always understand the code and possibly tweak it to make it better. Hence why one of the coaches said, like, yeah, you're not going to be replaced by AI, by an engineer that uses AI tools, right? Which to a certain extent I think is true, because there's an efficiency gain very tangibly already seen, right? You will see it, and I can talk from experience there. But when it comes to like the core question of should I even get into this field, all is lost, you know, the kind of fear stuff. Maybe the more junior roles would have, rightfully so, right? Because if it really comes down to more automatable work, then yes, then I think that's at risk. But if you then look at more like intermediate to advanced developer, senior developer, staff, that kind of roles, as I spoke on the podcast with Chris Williams as well, right? Like a cloud therapist he is. The higher you go up, the more soft skills, and this is on your favorite, you know, the more soft skills are needed, right? And I think to a certain extent, any developer needs a good chunk of soft skills, because you're talking with customers, getting requirements, iterating, communication. We all know, you know, like, well, let's actually talk about it here. Like if you if you look at what GPT is doing with helping you to code, up until the scale of where you're building complete apps and all the communication and soft skills that are involved there, then I think we can be skeptical if AI is going to even approach that, because it's all human, right? It's all So and maybe that's where we cannot see this yet, and it will be there someday. But right now, I don't see that, right? And it's way too human for to even, you know, entertain that, I think. So
yeah, I agree.
You know, I think you agree with that, right? Because I think Pybit's humanizes software development was a slogan. But you, from the mindset side, do you agree with that? And but why do you think then people have that fear? Because I think most people that express that fear also know that that increasing soft skill level is also true, right? So can you shed a mindset light on that?
I think there's a couple of things. I think it's just a natural fear of new things, right? You think about, and to get a bit historical, you think about, you know, the Industrial Revolution and all of that, the jobs that were automated by machines, right? But then it also creates new jobs. And this is also new that we don't know what's going to come from it. We don't know what's going to be created as a result. You know, it's kind of exciting. New things, new jobs and technologies and, I guess, languages for programming or uses for Python, machine learning, all those sorts of things. New things will come up, you know, and demand for these kinds of engineers and developers, I think, will skyrocket. They already are, you know. So if anything, it's just, I feel like it's another plateau for technology of going, yeah, look, we've got something new. The mindset of holding on to things the way they are, where it's comfortable, is strong. And so the idea of change is difficult for people, and there's fear in that, you know. That said, I think timing is also a big deal. Came out, ChatGPT in earnest 2023, right? It was 2023, you reckon?
Or and 2022.
2022, whatever. It coincides with the giant downturn in the tech sector, right? Yeah. The Amazon, Google, Microsoft, all their first wave of layoffs started happening, what, November 2022, I think?
Which was the post-COVID.
Yeah. And that was all COVID-based. That's all bloat due to COVID. It has nothing to do with AI. But the fact that I think people can't – I'm not putting words in people's mouths, but there is a feeling that, hey, the tech sector is bombing. All of these jobs are being – these people are losing their jobs. They're becoming –
And there's AI to finish it off.
And there's AI right in the mix of it coming out at the exact same time. You know, so I think there is a subconscious connection there as well. But
it's almost like they invigorate each other, right?
Meanwhile, you know, I think the mindset that needs to go along with this is a mindset of growth. You know, this is just a new technology this is just a new technology to help you grow and help you do things, help you perform and learn quicker. Like what I absolutely love and adore about this technology is, from a technical perspective, I just get answers for the stuff that I need much quicker. It does the data sorting for me. And I don't think that's something anyone should be afraid of, you know? So, for example, doing sysadmin type stuff with my server at home that I built over Christmas, there are things I didn't know with Docker and you know, hypervisor layer stuff. And I was getting bugs. I mean, why isn't this working? Why is it? Instead of having to search through 500 different random blog articles, you know, the Bing Copilot thing that's built into Windows 11 now did it for me and had an answer for me straight away. And I was able to resolve the issues that I was seeing in, let's call it, an hour as opposed to an entire weekend of my time. Right.
Yep.
And so I think that's the kind of scenario we should all be embracing with this technology. Instead of being afraid, use it. Don't be afraid to use it. Learn to use it to speed up your work, speed up the things that you do. And I said this in the podcast with my friend. And this might be very, very optimistic and too thinking big that may result in society crumbling, but
I'm the pessimist, so good balance.
I think the capitalist way of looking at this is, maybe it's not even capitalism, but whatever. If you can do your work more efficiently because GPT shortcuts stuff for you and speeds up the process, right? This is all just ChatGPT. Forget the countless other AI products out there, right? But if it can speed up the process of your job and the things that you do, then you can squeeze more into your workday and do even more, right? Mm. I'm thinking...
Would employers think like that?
Of course, I reckon employees would think like that in a heartbeat if they weren't too worried with data security going into these public apps, right? But my feel-good thought here is that wouldn't it be nice if that if we could all speed up our roles with AI, that humanity just does a three-day work week or only works 3 hours a day? Like, imagine that. So this is getting very – this is like, you and me at the pub.
I've been reading Thomas More a bit too much. Yeah. Didn't you write Utopia?
This is what – these are the conversations Bob and I have when we hang out. But wouldn't it be amazing if – because we work to earn money and to get food and put shelter over our heads and all that sort of stuff, right? That's why people work. And
to get meaning as well.
To give back and find – but you can find meaning in stuff that you don't need to be paid for. So sure. Imagine if you could get the same amount of work done in – 2 or 3 hours a day, companies pay you the same amount because you're providing the same value, and you just use the rest of the time to do things better, to be with your family, your friends, go and see, go and help out, go and volunteer, go and clean up the planet, clean up Australia Day, those sorts of things. Oh, man.
If it all was that nice, but then the pessimist view would be, but then of course they ditch half of the staff and they have you work double, you know?
they have your work. Yeah, take half the week off, but we're only going to pay you half.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. Mm. But yeah, I think the takeaway is that best to adopt a growth mindset. Mm. I think Dweck is one of the most quoted authors, persons on the show. But read that book, Mindset, if you haven't. It's a really... good explanation going from the fixed to the growth mindset, because you might think that you have a growth mindset. And by the way, we have an episode on this as well with Alejandro, I think half a year ago. And you might think you have a growth mindset, but then you discover you still have a fixed mindset in the term thing. So it's interesting. But yeah, adopt those tools. It's not only to write code. If you're skeptical about that, it will introduce bugs. You don't have to use it to write code per se. You can also just have it. What we often do is we use it for partial things, right? Like a snippet or what was this? Or can you explain this? Or, and then, you do notice that you're still pretty much involved in it, but you go so much faster. And that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, the thing that if I was to put my own kind of worry or fear on it is at the end of the day, companies still own these tools. So you're still feeding them with data. And I'm sure if you comb through those privacy policies and stuff, they're saying, don't put private information in here because whatever you type in here, we capture, right? And they probably trawl it, they probably harvest it and dig in, data mine it for whatever marketing and advertising data that they need to sell off, right? I'm not saying every company is going to be like that, but hey, at the end of the day, that's that data stuff, the data you're feeding into it is valuable to other people. So there is that healthy
dose. And that's
dose
a good point, right? That's a limitation. Yeah. We're pretty cautious what we put in. Mm. And if you're working at a company, you might not feed any data into it, right? So you're basically without tools or they don't let you enable Copilot, for example, because it might passively upload source code, right?
Exactly.
And we don't want that and you should definitely not do that. So, but then still you can use that tool more as an educational tool, right? Like explain decorators to me or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So that's a good point, that the limitation is that you're always going to be cautious what data you put in, and you will definitely not put in personal info, which might be needed if you really want to use it to its fullest extent. And also, we are using version 4, so not promoting it per se, we're not affiliated, but there's a stark difference, right, between 3.5 and 4. So if we're saying it works because we use 4. And I think when we use 3.5, then yeah, we're getting barely the same results, right?
So yeah.
And maybe that's also the skeptic saying that it produces buggy code. Sometimes are referring to 3.5, the free version.
That's true.
Where 4 is definitely way better. Yeah.
But hey, if OpenAI wants to...
just want to make sure we clarify on the versions. Yeah.
Well, if they want to sponsor the podcast so we can push version 4 on people, I'm happy to do. Anyway.
He always thinks like a businessman.
Mate, someone's got to keep the lights on in this house. You got to keep the power going into this podcast and these microphones. So look, we could clearly talk about this for ages, but I think the summary here is, yeah, use the AI tools as tools. You know, healthy skepticism, caution around it all, obviously with privacy, but don't be afraid. And certainly remember that they can give you the edge, and whatever your fears and worries happen to be, if you're not learning it, someone else is. And that's the person who might pip you to the post in a specific job that you might want, because they're capable of using it, learning it, and just learning things quicker as a result. So whatever your feelings are, it's not something you can ignore.
Because you see still a lot of tutorial paralysis, right? People spending hours and hours on books and complete tutorials. But all that time, if you would spend it more focused using ChatGPT for learning, you will pick up concepts faster because you're going to be laser focused, right?
And even it's
that's your like, edge, right?
But it can be like talking with someone, right? Because it will say something and you can say, hang on a minute, can you explain that to me like I was 5? Or
yeah.
You mentioned this. What is that? Whereas if you were reading a book or watching a course, you'd have to post that question in the course itself. Or if you're reading a book, you'd have to go to the appendix and try and find a relevant page that mentions that module or something, right? So it's kind of cool to get that talking to and from it. It works like a mentor in that respect.
Yeah.
Did you say coaching program? Sorry. Keeping the lights on.
Like the other day, I had to explain fractions. But I, you know, was to my son. So I said, like, well, explain it like to a 10-year-old, right? And then you can give that context.
Yeah.
All that said, though, nothing like human interaction. So that's join the community.
That's true.
Also, I'm going to make a post about this when this comes out, and then we'll link it below. So if you have any thoughts, you want to comment on this, then hop in there and we'll have a link below to continue the conversation.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I think that's a nice way to end this one because we've been chatting for I don't even know how long. We've been recording, right? Yeah, it's recording. just checking. So let's wrap it up like we normally do. What are you reading?
I finished Demian, Hermann Hesse, one of my favorite authors. And I'm reading Design Patterns, Dive into Design Patterns. I will link it below.
What's the first book?
Demian.
Is that fiction?
It's fiction, Bildungs, like using forming, kind of philosophical. Novel. Yeah. And nice. And the Design Patterns were Juanjo, shout out. He recommended that. So as I said before, right?
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Not using a lot of tutorials, but I'm more into the concepts books like Fluent Python and Code Complete. And that's a good one for an overview of design patterns. So I'm only 10% in, but it's explains stuff well.
Nice. Okay.
You?
Yeah, nothing technical.
Business?
No, I'm kind of I'm reading, actually, I've probably got like 10 books I'm reading at once, right? Yeah. But the one that I'm currently sucked into is a book called Dr. Space Junk versus the Universe. And I got it on a whim. I just picked it up off the shelf and got it. And I actually started reading it. I think I mentioned it on the podcast or a podcast over the past month or so, but I actually started reading it like last week. And it's an incredibly interesting read. It's about an Australian scientist. I think scientist would be the safest way to just describe the author. I've forgotten her name. I apologize. But the idea is when, you know, she grew up as an archaeologist in Australia, which back in the day was considered like, what are you doing? Because, and I say this in quotes for everyone listening, all we had was Indigenous Australian artifacts to study. And back then everyone was like, nah, all the money's in Africa and Europe and all those places. And then the breakthroughs in the 70s and 80s over here in Australia led to it being more of a, oh, wow. Things are really old over there, you know. Mm. So anyway, it's about that and her journey through that side of things, but then her sudden inspiration to get into astrophysics and space. And now if you think about it, when you talk about space, you're looking to the future. But then when you talk about archaeology, you tend to be looking to the past. And so it's this cool, to use a big word, juxtaposition, this whole comparison and of the two and how they work together and how our past influences that future and how it being in space, there actually is a past in space. Like you think about the moon landing, that's from what, the 60s, I think.
And 69, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's so long ago now, but that's our past, but it's in space, which is our future. And it's just, anyway, it's a really cool book. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Australian.
How did you find it?
I walked into a bookstore, saw a funny name, and just pulled it off the shelf. That was it.
Random effect. Yeah.
Random. Loved it.
Love it.
So,
yeah.
oh, and the last thing I want to mention, everyone,
go to Amazon. Go to your local bookstore.
Yeah, go to your local bookstore. Go to brick and mortar. Don't buy it online.
I found a secondhand shop here in my town. And
oh, yeah.
The owner had a had similar taste with the classics and stuff. So it's cool. Like, yeah.
Is everything in that shop Spanish?
I guess so. Yeah. Some local stuff. Yeah.
Because when Bob and I were in Cordoba, did I say that right? Cordoba?
Yeah.
Cordoba. We were in Cordoba. Right. Yeah,
yeah. Soft R.
Soft R. Cordoba. That's my American accent.
That's gringo.
Where we were there, we found this incredible bookstore, and it was old, it was dusty, things were just stacked on top of each other. It looked like the place you just blow into the air and half of the books would fall apart. I would have gladly bought half the store if everything wasn't in Spanish.
You're so going to pay for an extra suitcase.
Yeah, exactly.
The only reason we went out of that shop because we were hungry, otherwise we would have, you know, stayed there for 3 hours.
Yeah, it was getting late. It was like 10 p.m. I think everyone was closing for food. So, so the one thing I did want to mention, aside from the books, is Bob introduced me, everyone, to an Italian show called Gomorra. And I watched one episode and thought, yeah, I can wait. And then I watched the second episode and that's it. I've just been hooked. Whenever we're done working pilots in the evenings, I've been getting to that. And it's just been so much fun to watch. So horrifying. It's about
fun,
if you haven't
fun or horrifying.
Oh, it's entertaining. It's interesting.
Can go together, apparently.
It's wild. But if you've got to watch this shit. Yeah, it's brutal. It's about the Italian mob in Napoli, in Naples.
It might not be for everyone.
It's not for everyone. It's very violent, but it's more confronting more than violent, I would say. Yeah. And the reality of it all. So
there's a storyline to it. I think the show has a message, like don't end up there, right?
Yeah. So it's a good show, but just wanted to call that out because I've been watching that. And now, Bob, I finished season one. We can watch season two together.
Right.
So there we go.
Oh, you're hooked.
I'm hooked. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. I think we're done.
Right. I think we're done. It's a good show.
Nice, man. It's a good episode if I don't say say so myself.
Let's not make it another month.
Yeah, I do want to record one next week because you could even do it on Thursday night, but just line them up. But I do want to talk about
one more episode.
One more thing.
Like the Apple conferences. One more thing. PyCon.
Oh, yeah, we're going to PyCon.
Aren't
iCloud
we?
US. Yes, we got to make it happen. We've only got 3 months until it starts, so we need to buy tickets and get over there. But we're going to go to PyCon
talks
US.
Anymore, but we'll be there. We want to be there. It's going to be a goal of us.
Yep.
And meet as many people, connect to open spaces.
Yep.
And have a lot of fun.
If we have anyone in the Python PyBytes community coming, we'll totally do some sort of a go to the pub or, you know, get an open space somewhere that we, depending on the numbers, somewhere that we can get everyone together and just say, hey, that'd be nice.
So reach out on the community and yeah, we'll do another post, dedicated post, who's going, and then
yeah,
we get already people connected before.
Love it.
Yeah, ideally both of us, at least one, but I think we definitely going to make it happen to go both.
Yeah,
we'll needs do to happen.
We'll
it's been a while
that.
That we've been there.
Yeah, it's been five years,
man.
Yeah, 2019.
It's almost embarrassing.
Yeah. Time flies, though.
Doesn't still sit well with us. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't. I still see the pictures, though, and think, geez, oh, that was like yesterday. So
I was so young back then. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I love it.
Cool.
All right. Let's go.
All right, man.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
All right.
YouTube.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. Forgot it was a podcast.
It's not just a Zoom meeting.
And we'll be back next week.
Next week. Cheers.
Bye. Ciao.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. To hear more from us, go to pybit.com/friends. That is pybit.es/friends and receive a free gift just for being a friend of the show.
And to join our thriving Slack community of Python programmers, go to pybit.com/community. That's pybit.es/community. We hope to see you there and catch you in the next episode.